Okay, so you shared this cybersecurity document with us, and wow.
It gets into the practical details of keeping data safe, not just on your devices.
But while it's traveling across the internet,
Right.
it's anyone can put a lock on their door, but
What about the delivery truck bringing your packages? That's what we're securing today.
absolutely. And in today's world, that data is constantly on the move more than ever before.
Exactly, and they jump right into it with voice and video security.
Remember when Skype was a big deal? Now it's all Zoom.
Teams.
Yeah. And what's fascinating is that these tools often rely on protocols like SysIP Session Initiation Protocol.
To establish and manage calls,
Okay.
which, if not properly configured, can be vulnerable.
And I'm going to admit, SIP sounds a bit like alphabet soup to me.
Can you break that down a bit?
Of course, think of SysIP like the dialing system for internet calls.
It sets up the connection, figures out who's talking to whom.
And manages the flow of audio and video data.
Okay.
If it's not secure, someone could essentially eavesdrop on your call.
So, like someone picking up a second receiver on a landline.
That makes it much clearer and a lot less appealing for those confidential calls. But this isn't just about business meetings anymore, right?
Right.
The document also mentions things like international calls through apps, even casual chats.
Exactly. The sheer volume of voice and video traffic now is astounding.
And it creates a huge potential attack surface.
Wow.
This document even mentions using VLANs, virtual local area networks.
To separate and prioritize this traffic, kind of like creating dedicated lanes on a highway.
Okay, I'm picturing those express lanes that bypass all the traffic.
So how does that apply to a network?
Imagine your home network.
With VLANs, you can separate the traffic from your work computer,
Okay.
your smart TV, and your kids' gaming consoles.
This not only manages traffic efficiently,
But if, say, one device on the network gets compromised, the others are isolated and hopefully safe.
okay, that makes sense.
It's like having different compartments in a ship. If one gets breached, the whole thing doesn't go down.
Right.
But back to those voice and video calls.
Isolating the traffic is one thing, but what about making sure no one's listening in on those conversations?
That's where encryption comes in.
It's like sending a postcard versus a sealed letter.
This document really stresses using strong encryption protocols like TLS or SSL to secure those voice and video communications.
TLS, SSL.
Those sound familiar, but I'll admit I'm a little fuzzy on the details.
Can you give me the quick breakdown?
Think of them as the digital envelopes and locks for your data,
They scramble the information being sent back and forth during a call.
making it unreadable to anyone without the proper decryption key.
So even if someone intercepts the data, it's just gibberish without the key.
Exactly.
I like those analogies. They make it much easier to grasp.
The document doesn't just stop at calls, though,
Next, they dive into something everyone's familiar with, remote access.
which has become absolutely essential in today's work environment.
Right. And of course, they mentioned VPNs.
Those seem like a given these days.
VTNs are certainly a key tool.
They create a secure tunnel for your data, protecting it from prying eyes when you're using public Wi-Fi.
Or accessing work files remotely.
Like a digital invisibility cloak. But they also mentioned something kind of unnerving, this idea of screen scraping.
What exactly is that?
Imagine someone looking over your shoulder as you type in your password.
Or read sensitive information. That's essentially what screen scraping is.
Except it's happening digitally. They're recording your screen.
Every keystroke, every move you make.
Okay, that's officially giving me chills.
So it's not enough to just connect to your work stuff securely. You also need to be aware of what's happening on the other end.
Exactly. Even if your connection is secure, someone might still be able to see what you're doing.
Especially in highly monitored environments.
This is where understanding things like consent to monitoring policies comes into play.
That's a really good point. Makes you think twice about what you access remotely and where you're accessing it from.
It certainly highlights the importance of awareness and understanding the potential risks involved.
Just because you have a lock on the door doesn't mean someone can't peek through the window.
You need both to truly secure your data. It's a bit like that old saying.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Right.
And that brings us to another critical aspect highlighted in this document, securing data in transit.
Okay, so we've talked about securing our devices and connections.
But what about the data itself while it's moving between points A and B?
Exactly. Whether you're sending files to a colleague, backing up to the cloud, or even just browsing the web.
That data needs to be protected.
Because even with a secure connection, someone could potentially intercept the data packets along the way.
That's right.
And that's where encryption comes in again.
This document really hammers home the importance of encrypting data at every stage, both in transit and at rest.
So like putting that data in a lockbox.
Whether it's being moved or stored somewhere.
Exactly.
And just like there are different types of locks for different security needs, there are different types of encryption protocols best suited for specific purposes.
Right, like choosing between a basic padlock and a high security vault.
Exactly.
This document gets into the specifics of protocols like TLS, SSL, and IPsec.
They all offer encryption, but they're designed for different use cases.
Okay.
TLS and SSL, for example, are commonly used to secure website traffic.
That's what puts the S in HTTPS.
Ah, so that little padlock icon in my browser bar means TLS or SSL is doing its thing.
Precisely.
It's telling you that the communication between your browser and the website is encrypted.
Okay.
IPsec, on the other hand, is often used for securing connections between networks.
Like setting up a secure link between a branch office and a company headquarters.
So different tools for different jobs.
And they're all about scrambling that data to make it unreadable without the right key.
Right.
But it seems like things can get pretty complex, especially when you start talking about different networks and connections.
Absolutely.
And that brings us back to a concept we touched on earlier, network segmentation.
It's a fundamental principle they emphasize throughout this document.
Right, the idea of dividing your network into smaller, more manageable chunks.
Yeah.
Can you give me a real-world example of how that might work, say for someone's home network?
Certainly. Let's say you have a home office setup with a work laptop.
A personal computer and a wireless printer, all connected to the same network.
Okay.
With network segmentation, you could create separate VLANs.
Those virtual LANs we discussed earlier.
Yeah.
For your work devices and your personal devices.
So even though they're physically connected to the same router,
they're logically separated into different networks.
Exactly.
Now, let's say you accidentally click on a malicious link while browsing the web on your personal computer.
Uh-oh.
With proper segmentation, the potential malware would be contained within the personal VLAN.
And wouldn't be able to spread to your work devices.
Wow, that's a great example. It really highlights the benefit of creating those isolated compartments.
Right.
It's like having separate firewalls for different parts of your network.
And speaking of firewalls,
they're another crucial layer of defense covered in this document.
Okay. Think of them as the gatekeepers of your network.
Control what's allowed in and out, right?
Exactly.
Firewalls act as a barrier between your network and the outside world.
Examining incoming and outgoing traffic for anything suspicious. They can block unauthorized access attempts.
Prevent malware from entering your network, and even stop sensitive data from being leaked out.
So we've got segmentation, firewalls, encryption.
It's like building a fortress around our data.
But I have to ask, what about those situations where you have to grant someone from outside your network access?
Ah, you've hit upon a critical aspect, third-party risks.
And this document dedicates a significant section to it using a very compelling example.
Let me guess the target hack.
Precisely.
The infamous Target breach of 2014, where hackers stole millions of credit card numbers,
is a stark reminder of the potential consequences of third-party vulnerabilities.
Right, because it wasn't a direct attack on Target systems, if I recall correctly.
You're absolutely right.
The attackers gained access through a compromised credential from Target's HVAC vendor, their HVAC vendor.
They had access to Target's network for system updates and maintenance.
It sounds almost unbelievable.
It highlights a crucial point.
Even if your own defenses are ironclad, a single weak link in the chain, like a third-party vendor with lax security practices, can bring the whole system down.
That's a sobering thought. So how do you mitigate that risk?
I mean, you can't just operate in a bubble and never work with outside vendors. That's a great question, and thankfully this document offers some really practical advice.
It boils down to being proactive and thorough in how you manage those third-party relationships.
Exactly. It's about shifting from a mindset of blind trust to informed vigilance.
Okay.
Don't just assume a vendor has adequate security measures in place.
Ask questions.
Like, what are your cybersecurity policies?
And you share your security audit reports?
Precisely inquire about their data encryption practices.
Their access control mechanisms.
Yeah.
Their employee training programs. Due diligence is key here.
It's like checking references before you hire a contractor.
You want to make sure they're trustworthy and reliable.
Exactly. And when it comes to granting access to your network, adhere to the principle of least privilege.
Only grant the access absolutely necessary for them to do their job. Nothing more.
So don't give them the keys to the castle when all they need is a guest pass.
Right.
This document really emphasizes the importance of awareness and proactive security measures.
Because at the end of the day, no technology is foolproof.
Human error and complacency are often the weakest links in the chain.
So it's not just about having the right tools and technologies. It's about fostering a culture of cybersecurity.
Within an organization and within our own digital lives.
Absolutely. That includes staying informed about the latest threats.
Right.
Being cautious about what you click on, using strong and unique passwords.
Yeah.
And generally being mindful of your digital footprint.
It's about developing those good digital hygiene habits, just like we're all supposed to be washing our hands.
And staying home when we're sick.
Right.
It's about making those smart choices consistently.
You fit the nail on the head. It's not about living in a state of paranoia.
It's about being informed and empowered to make those safer choices in a digital world that's becoming increasingly complex.
Well said. So for anyone listening who might feel a bit overwhelmed by all this talk of cybersecurity,
what's the key takeaway you want them to remember?
That's easy. Don't be afraid to ask questions.
Whether it's your IT department, your software vendors, or even just doing a quick Google search.
Knowledge is power when it comes to cybersecurity.
I love that curiosity, not fear, should be our guide in this digital age. We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
From securing our devices and connections to the importance of encryption network segmentation.
And being vigilant about third-party risks.
Right.
It's clear that cybersecurity isn't just an IT issue anymore. It's something that touches all of our lives.
Absolutely. And as our reliance on technology continues to grow, so too will the importance of cybersecurity awareness and best practices.
So true. And on that note, we'll leave you to ponder this. Think about the apps you use every day.
Do you know what data they collect and how it's being used? It's something to consider as we navigate this increasingly interconnected world.
Until next time on The Deep Dive.